listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, driving a motorcycle off the cliff to land it on an airplane. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, going to try to wrap up an epic of movies all at the end here. And I mean, the ending was okay, right? It was good.
No.
I didn't like. I didn't like it either.
So, I wrote about this a while ago on the website Asteroid G, as you can see from the name that's on the podcast here. And
yes,
I struggle with these last two movies because you and I on previous Mission Impossible casts have discussed that from like part three through part six, these films have been on fire. They're fucking great, and I gotta say, I think it's Tom Cruise's hubris working with his co-writer director that he's been working with this whole time, Christopher McQuarrie, that they thought, you know what, we can just do 7 and 8 at the same time and people are just gonna keep showing up. And in fairness to them, COVID did fuck up their plans pretty hard.
Right.
I think it was hubris to think that they could do two movies back to back that would tie into each other and never once consider the fact that maybe people were getting just a little bit burned out. Like, number six was so good, it almost acted like a finale for everything that came before. And now seven and eight are, like, double-dipping, going, hey, another finale for the Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah, they're trying to keep printing money, and it's not exactly working. I love there's a fact, a little fun fact about it, that Tom Cruise now is older in these movies than John Voight was in the first one, and yet he is still the action star playing this role. And like, Tom Cruise is a good actor. He brings it. He's weird in real life, sure, but he does a solid job, and he is Ethan Hunt. But for as good as 4, 5, 6 were, 7 was fine. 8, I don't know. I mean, he was a whiny little bitch the whole time to me. I don't know. It's not the Ethan I know.
Watching these movies, it raises a couple key points for me. One, it feels like they had maybe a movie and a quarter's worth of story that they tried to stretch over two films. Because they could have, like, well, the resolution of the movie, the last act of number 8, could have easily been just tacked on to episode 7, and we would have been fine. It wouldn't have mattered. That's the first problem. And the second problem is the fact that Tom Cruise will throw himself into stunt still at any point. But as you mentioned, he's old. We're old, but he's old in comparison. He's in his mid-60s. The dude is pushing it. At this point in his career, Jackie Chan was going, you know what? CGI sounds really good right now. And that man would throw himself.
As soon as Jackie Chan started to stop doing his own stunts, it was time for Tom Cruise to hang it up too. You're 100% right. Yeah.
And the stunts that he is doing, while technically like interesting from a setup perspective, they don't feel like they're pushing anything that he's done before. Oh, this time he's throwing himself off a cliff with a motorcycle, and this time he's grabbing onto a plane and flying through the air. But we already just saw stunts where he base dived basically from outer space, and like all the other dumb shit that he's done in the previous movies. Like, nothing here felt so much more substantial than the big stunts from the previous films that I'm like, is this better than him scaling the Burj Khalifa? I don't think so.
No, and I agree. Like, you know, it seemed like they tried to up the stakes by putting them in like dangerous, well, obviously they're in dangerous situations. It's a fucking Mission Impossible movie,
look at this thing where we have to go to a pillow factory and take a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
That's,
so like,
that's, you know, that's, by the way, if they ever do that movie, I'm in. That's the mission I'm ready for. Okay. I've been practicing.
Sold. You know, it goes from the stunts to just like, there's a nuclear bomb about to go off, how do we defuse it kind of thing, without like the action leading up to it. It's just, it's weird to say, but it felt like the stress and the anxiety was much more situational of what they were actually in than rather the stunt like that they're performing, like, is this possible? Is he going to be okay kind of thing? I didn't get that in these movies.
Yeah. Before we continue, we want to take a brief moment to thank this week's sponsors, Cyberdyne Systems. Out of Los Angeles, Cyberdyne Systems, the future is bright. Number 7 sets up this villain. And I think the problem with these two movies more than anything is the villain. It is basically a sentient AI that is trying to take over the world, which fails for me on two fronts. The first is the fact that it's hard to be scared of a sentient computer program. You got that really great villain from 6, Hell. You had a great villain in 5, a great villain in 4. These are guys that Ethan Hunt fought face-to-face with. That cat-and-mouse hero-villain interaction, and then they have a big fist fight at the end, and it's great. You can't do that with a sentient computer program. You can give the sentient computer program a lieutenant, which they do, but it doesn't have that same gut punch to it. You're not getting Ethan face-to-face with the computer program. It's just, can we flip a switch in time to stop the computer? That's never going to be nearly as thrilling. So
it's not. It's not. And no, Gabriel, he was fine as a villain, I suppose. Yeah, he was fine. But like they try to connect him to like Ethan's past and all that. And I thought we've covered portions of this already throughout the series and everything. So like it's already a stretch for me with like, you know, this Gabriel guy. Like, I don't know.
And
I didn't really buy that.
It's just a bad retcon, too. It's like, oh, suddenly there's this person from Ethan Hunt's past that's coming after him. It's like, and you're coming after him now. Ethan's about to, like, pull his golden parachute and, like, get his watch and go take a cushy office job because he's 62 right now. And you're like, you know, now is the perfect time to launch my evil revenge plan against him. Really? Really?
I mean, get him while he's down, get him while he's slow. I don't know. No. Like, I don't know.
That just, that was the first thing. The second problem I had with this, which I said in my reviews on the website way back, was the villain feels like a cheap version of the computer program villain from Person of Interest, the TV series, which was like years ago and done better than what they did in Mission Impossible. You're not only not giving us a good villain, but what you're giving us was already done better somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that's my big issue with this. So Ethan and his team find out there's a sentient computer program because they get some, like, half of a key, and they need to get another half of a key to go to a computer core to unlock the core, to get the program, but free the program, to then unleash the program, to then capture the program because the computer program's also already unleashed, to then stop the program somewhere. It is the most bullshit, convoluted plotline that did not need to be two movies worth of a story that feels like boomer drama, you know?
You're right, because like this really, I mean, the run times in these movies are ridiculous too. Was 163 minutes for 7 and 170 minutes for 8. We don't do math like that real quick, but that's 330 minutes of content. That's five hours of content that really could have been crunched down to, like, if you wanted to stretch it, a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah,
so,
especially because the eighth movie spends two acts basically rehashing the entire movie series up to that point without saying almost anything new. That's why I say you could take that last act and slap it on the other movie, because two acts of number 8 of 3 hours worth of film aren't needed. Mm-hmm. It's just, let's rehash and maybe move some pieces around and then have all of our characters stand in one room or another and discuss the plan before they do the plan, to discuss the next plan, to do the next plan, to then maybe actually fight the thing that we've been trying to fight for 5 fucking hours now.
I feel like the computer program was so many steps ahead of them at every single twist and turn that, like, the way they were trying to trap it did not seem like it would work to me either. I don't know.
It's tragic, because we've had 4 movies with these characters where we, like, him and Benji and Luther and Ilsa, who came in with number 5, one of those, whichever one it was.
4 or 5, yeah. And I think Luther's been there since the beginning. I think he's been there since 1.
Luther's been with him since 1. Benji came in with 3. Yeah. I think Ilsa came in at 5. I think it was 5, because she was 5, and then they really started to put her into the movies and make her a core part of the team with 6. And then they bump her off in 7 for, like, what actually ended up being no fucking reason whatsoever. That was
just to fuck with Ethan again, man. Just no reason. Just
no,
like,
let's
hurt Ethan as much as possible, right? Like, I don't know. Like, sure.
It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make, like, you want to hurt Ethan, go kill his previous wife that he still clearly has feelings for that we last saw in 6. Yeah. That'll fuck him up. That's the one that means something.
Yeah, spoiler alert, someone does go in 8, you know, and I'm not going to spoil it just in case for a year-old movie, whatever. I felt like that death was much more wrenching than Ilsa, to be honest. And
which,
I mean, I don't know.
It says more about how they've built them up. Like, Ilsa was supposed to be a love interest, but I think the problem is that Tom Cruise doesn't know how to have sexual chemistry with anything at this point. So her being a love interest doesn't matter when you can't get anything in return for Tom Cruise. It's not that she wasn't trying. It's that he wasn't, like, reciprocating more than a leg pat and a smile.
I mean, right? Like, he was very, like, British with his, like, affection. It felt like,
Right?
like, good job.
Dude,
Great done. Well done.
you're one of only three triple A list actors left in the world at this point. Can you show a little sexual chemistry at all?
I mean, how much sexual chemistry do you want to share with the 63-year-old Tom Cruise? I mean, maybe that's the problem.
I felt more eroticism come out of him when he was flying a plane in Top Gun Maverick than I got in this movie, you know?
Oh man, class. Yeah, man. Maverick was a good movie. These, not so much.
No, not so much. Watching them, I'm not even sure how to fix them. Normally we try. Normally we discuss it and we're like, how, like, what could we do right? What could have been done better? What would improve these? And I think what would improve these movies would be not making them.
Not making them, which sounds harsh, but
That sounds
honestly
harsh.
is kind of true. But
Yeah.
you take this 5-hour epic fucking odyssey that you have, and you crunch it down into a movie that makes sense.
2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because I mean, you're so right. Like, I was watching Eight, and I don't want to say that I was bored with it because, like, it had been a little while since I'd seen Seven, so it was
There's some
re you
interesting
know
scenes.
hashing of
Yeah.
there is. And but I mean, to your point, they spend a really good portion of that first half just showing you what happened before. There's nothing
It's a
really
recap.
new. Like,
It's a remember when episode for an 8-series movie. Like, no. No.
It feels unneeded. If you're going to see Mission Impossible 8, you've seen Mission Impossible 7.
Yeah.
You don't need to catch up people like they're bringing someone for the first time on a date. Like, you don't need to do that. Like,
No.
you wasted money and time and you bored your audience.
That makes me think, honestly, that that was Paramount freaking out about the fact that number 7 was actually technically a financial flop. And they were sitting there going, okay, what we need to do is if people didn't watch 7, but they somehow come to 8, they don't get confused about what's going to happen next. So recap the whole movie series in the first hour and a half, and then you can do your last action sequences that you've already filmed.
That's a decision. Talking about the financials in the movie, right? For as successful as the other ones were, they took Dead Reckoning, 220 to 291 million, depending net gross, what you want to do. It made 571. That right there is basically, like you said, a flop. You know,
A
it
flop.
doubled their money, kind of, but not really. And then you
Yeah.
look at this movie, right? I mean, this movie, 300 to 400 million. So they'd almost doubled their budget and they barely took home more, 598 million box office. That is bad.
We've discussed this before. Standard Hollywood math says you need to make 2.5 times your budget at the box office to cover the film at this point and make it a success because you can't trust that residuals and home video and anything else are going to cover anymore. Streaming has really broken the Hollywood system to the point where a movie that used to be able to get by making like 200 at the box office on a 200 budget now has to make 500 at the box office to be considered a success because you can't. People aren't going to buy the discs, people aren't going to buy the merch, people aren't going to watch it on cable TV where the lucrative money used to come in. So yeah, seventh one making 500 and something on a 2-something budget sounds great until you do the math and you're sitting going, at best that broke even, it probably lost money. And the eighth was an absolute flop. I doubt that anyone's gonna be like, yeah, let's make another one of these anytime soon.
The ending was good enough to be an ending for the series, I
Kinda.
suppose.
Kinda. Yeah.
Just don't do it again. Don't make another one. We're
The
fine.
bold ending would have been have Tom Cruise die. And if they decide to do another one after that, have Hayley Atwell's character become the new lead. Which at one point it kind of felt like that was what they were leaning towards, and then they got gun shy and backtracked and didn't do it. And I'm not sure why they didn't do it, but they didn't do it.
They stayed in their safe zone, and it
They did.
sucks.
And that's it right there. For all the times that Tom Cruise willingly throws himself into danger and it seems like he's going to die, then he doesn't, and the movies feel safe now. Like, that plane stunt should have been awesome. But you know what? I was bored because we got a better version of it in number 6 when he did a helicopter stunt. That motorcycle stunt should have been amazing, but one, it wasn't filmed that well, honestly. And two, we got a better version of it when he base jumped out of an airplane with Superman in the 6th movie. Like, at every turn, we've had a better version of these stunts. The best stunt in the 7th movie was the train sequence, where they're like, the train's collapsing underneath them, they're having to scale through it. And that one was clearly done on a soundstage with CGI. Like, it was fake, but it was the best stunt they had in the movie. That doesn't speak well to what these movies are supposed to be selling us.
No, and like, and to your point, like these movies are known for, you know, their stunts and their over the top and, you know, the explosions and the bang bang bang, and like, yes, there's green screen, but you know, Tom Cruise, to his credit, hung on to that fucking plane when it went in the air. Like, that wasn't green screen. Like,
That
he
was
was
cool.
strapped in and safely secured, whatever, but he actually did that. The best parts of these were not, you know, I hesitate to say the word practical stunt, but they weren't a classic kind of stunt that we're used to seeing in these kind of movies.
Yeah, no, I thought the swimming section through the submarine in the eighth movie, where he's like having to like get around without like drowning and so forth, that was actually a more tense sequence than the planes that actually capped the movie. And I'm like, this is clearly a safe stunt that was done to be interesting from a thematic perspective and not just let's watch Tom Cruise kill himself. And I thought it was the better sequence.
It was an interesting plan, I'll give him that. You know, there was a lot of faith in each other and brotherhood, I guess, going on. Like, so we gotta get a message that may or may not be coming, and we gotta go to a spot that where they may or may not be, and we just gotta count on them to be there at this exact moment. And yeah, pretty much. Like,
I mean, I guess,
okay.
but my God,
Okay, sure.
that's the most convoluted setup to make this thing. Again, we're back to the point of this is a really dumb set of movies to try and make a storyline that would have been probably much better off if they just hadn't had the fucking sentient and AI in there to begin with.
You should have just made Gabriel the bad guy
Yes!
and had him like
Yes!
controlling a computer program or something. You know, it would have been a lot better than
Or
the
he
program
just
would.
wants to fucking steal some bombs.
Yeah, that too.
Like, just be, do like Dr. Evil, be in it for the love of the game, you know?
Oh, too true. Yeah, just for he's in it. He's just running cats.
Yes,
Just taking it because he loves danger.
Dr. Evil, Blofeld, those kinds of ones. We like those villains when
Yeah.
they're just in it for the love of the game. The villains that Ethan Hunt had before that were that like that, just awesomely over the top there just because they want to cause carnage. Like, that's what we want. Gabriel was
Yeah.
watered down version of that, and the fucking AI that he was working with was nothing. It's just nothing.
No, it's not. And I refuse to believe that something that has its hands into everything like that just can be tricked and lose so easily. Like, I don't know.
No.
I just didn't buy the whole ending plot of it like that too. Like,
No.
we're gonna trap him in the flash drive or something in like a secret
Yes.
bunker when the AI is trusting you, but nobody can trust it. But I know, dude, who trusts who? There was just too much of this fucking finger
It was
pointing,
too
like who
much.
can you
Yeah.
believe kind of stuff. Like,
Spider-Man
too
every
much.
pointing at themselves kind of thing. This was a plot line that probably sounded better to Cruise and McQuarrie in their heads, and they went in and wrote half a movie, number seven, that sets up the whole thing. And that movie works on its own for the most part because it doesn't have to resolve anything. But when you actually have to resolve this stupid fucking plot line, you realize how dumb it is and how in over their heads they are. So they just faff around for 3 hours until they come up with the least interesting plot line they possibly could.
Yeah, it was boring, it was stupid, and you know, like I was getting real tired of Gabriel getting out of every situation too, honestly. It got too boring for me.
Yeah, it reminds me in a way of The Matrix, how the second and third movies were filmed back to back, and everyone dislikes the second movie because the third movie had to finish the story that the second one set up. And it's not that the second one is necessarily bad, it's not the best. I won't deny that. But there's a lot of good meat on the second movie, which is how I feel about Mission Impossible 7. But because they then bork the ending so bad because they realize, wait, we have to resolve all of this somehow? It just doesn't work in comparison. The last one drags the previous one down with it. The Star Wars movies. Do we care about 7 or 8 now because the ninth one of the trilogy just fucking tanked it? Like, it's that kind of thing. This movie does that. Number 8 is so bad it retroactively drags down the mediocre 7 with it.
The only good thing that came out of the final Star Wars trilogy was it gave me more appreciation for 1, 2, and 3. That's really all it did.
The Star Wars prequels are bad, but they're not sequels bad, you
Yeah, they're
know?
not. And you know, and at least they did their own stunts and lightsaber training and tried, like, for as
Yeah.
bad as you want to say they were. But anyway, we're not gonna tangent off into a Star
We
Wars
did.
bullshit. We can
Another
get Jay
time.
Chidel on for that one.
I was severely disappointed, and as clearly audiences were as well, I was severely disappointed with the eighth movie. And because of that, the seventh movie, which wasn't great, definitely fails in comparison. Had they stopped with six, I think all of us would be sitting here going, man, that was good. I wonder why they didn't make another one of these. And I think that's the timeline I want to be in right now.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Hollywood has a problem with taking like good endings of things and trying to keep tacking on more. It's why we have 10 Fast and the fucking Furious movies. Like, just stop.
Should have stopped with seven. Furious seven was
Yeah.
great. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh,
There are
well.
endings that people expect, and then there are endings that Hollywood thinks we want, and they need to stop giving us what we think we want.
I think Paramount has reached a point where we're not going to see another one of these anytime soon. With how bad these two flopped and actually literally bombed in the case of the eighth one, I would be shocked if Paramount's going, you know what? You know what we need right now? More Mission Impossible.
Said nobody ever.
No. No, we've got other
Yeah, not anymore
blockbusters.
anyway.
They are more likely to greenlight another Top Gun than I think come back to Mission Impossible anytime soon.
That's a fair point. I might be into seeing that, but again, that's Hollywood. Like, you took a story that didn't need to be turned into a trilogy, and you're gonna do something that it doesn't need to happen. You know, Maverick was good. Let's end it there.
That's Paramount. They made $1.8 billion on that movie. I'm sure they'll make more.
I'm sure they will. That's the Hollywood MO, right? That's what they do.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, going an impossible mission at a pillow factory. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna quote the great Dennis Leary from Demolition Man. When it comes to Hollywood, these assholes are nothing if not predictable. So, yeah.
We will see you all next time.